We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of 30 Minutes of Hell. I am your host, Brandon Baker, joined as always by Joey Jackson and Matt Jackson. We are brought to you by the Field of 68 Podcast Network. You can find us there on YouTube and on Twitter, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast under 30 Minutes of Hell. And speaking of, that's kind of what it felt like in this last game that Arkansas just lost, another 30 Minutes of Hell, and not in the good Nolan Richardson way. Arkansas lost by 13 points at home to South Carolina, a quadrant two opportunity. This is now their second double-digit home loss in as many weeks. They have dropped to 1-4 in SEC play. Things just aren't looking very good. It's at this point going to take divine intervention to even get them to a postseason tournament, to any postseason tournament. Just not great. And I think we're going to open it up a little differently today and just kind of let out some rants about how are you feeling about what's going on right now, because it's not great. There's not a lot of positive to talk about anything. We've seen one good half of basketball in the last month, and that was it. So where are you at right now with Arkansas basketball, guys?
I'll go first. It's sickening, to put it lightly. Our players don't want to play. Our coaches have not impressed me. Nobody wants to take accountability for anything. It's go down the court, jack up a shot. There's no consistency. We're arguing with the refs. We're blaming each other for mistakes that one person makes. And it's just, it's a lot. This team just plain and simple does not mesh with each other. They're all playing for themselves. They've got blinders on, not communicating. It's the same story. It's a different day. You know, we've been from the jump worried about some of these issues that have not been resolved. And early on in the season, we got told, oh, it's only November. It's only December. We don't need to worry about this. Mus always turns it around. And here we are in the spot that we told everyone that we were worried about being in, where we realistically, like you said, Brandon, do not have a shot at this tournament. We're not going to go and, you know, win the next 10 games or 9 games, or, you know, I'm questioning if we even win 5 games over the rest of the season. It's incredibly demoralizing to watch this team play on Saturdays and Wednesdays and Tuesdays and whatever day of the week that they play. You go in thinking, well, how much are we going to get beat by today? And it sucks, plain and simple, you know?
Yeah. Even with past teams that maybe aren't as good, at least a lot of times you have players that are fun to watch or things that might be going well. And this is just, none of this is fun right now. Even when they win games, it hasn't been very fun to watch. So I agree.
You know, I expect this from our football team. I do. I have for the past however many years. I've been a Razorback fan in general, but not from our basketball team, man. That is the one thing I look forward to. I look forward to March. I was telling them, we were texting each other throughout the entire game. You can imagine how that was.
Don't read our text messages.
But, you know, and I was like, man, I was so excited for March this year. I was so excited. I was planning on getting tickets to March this year.
Yeah.
I have no chance. I have no chance. There's, like you guys said, no chemistry. We thought we were told that the chemistry would figure itself out. They just got to gel a little bit, play a couple games together. It's only, like Joey said, it's only December, it's only November, whatever. Well, it's only January, and we are 1-4 in SEC play. Where are you guys at now? Where is, I mean, do something different. We are doing the same thing. We are running into a brick wall over and over and over. We're not changing anything defensively, and we suck at it. We yeah. are so bad at it.
And that's Matt, that's the most frustrating thing. Like, where we've seen the same things over and over and over.
Why not change it? Why not change it? Worked for a little bit. Why not throw something in there? Throw a wrinkle in here and there. But no, it's the same thing. I feel in general, not just the players. We can dog on the players all we want. But this is coaching, too. This is coaching, too. And I get that Musselman hasn't had a team that doesn't give all their effort. But shoot, what do you do in that situation? How are you going to change that? How are you going to get effort out of these guys? You're the coach. You have to figure it out. And I love Mus. I love him. But he needs to figure that out, because it's not going to be unicorns and rainbows all the time for Arkansas basketball. We're going to have bad teams. But you have to minimize that damage. And right now, we are not seeing any damage control. It's the same thing. Run out there and do the same thing, and maybe it works this time.
Yeah, and it's not working. And in this game, we've seen him a couple times too, talking about Mus. We've seen him throw just a bunch of different players in different lineups, and it looks like he's just trying to find something that sticks. But I almost think that sometimes that can be detrimental, because when you're going out there playing and you know that the first mistake you make, he's got 13 other guys that he's going to put in your place, you're playing tight. You don't, you know what I mean? Yeah. If you're playing like you're trying not to make a mistake, I think that's exactly the words that Joey used earlier when talking about L. Ellis on one of the last episodes. Playing not to make a mistake instead of playing his game. Mm-hmm. And I see that with a lot of these guys. And I don't know. I think Mus is a hard person to play for. He's a very demanding coach and a very good coach, smart coach. Obviously, we're not trying to say that he's not, but I think that he is very demanding to play for. And if you're not built to play for him, it's not, you know, we're seeing it right now. It's not going well. These guys are not playing their games. They're playing scared of their own team, of their own coach at some points. And, but yeah, it's been frustrating all around. My wife came to me at the end of this game and said, now might not be a very good time, but do you think we could make plans for the end of March, since it's not going to matter this year?
No,
so that's where we are at this point of the season, and no one expected to be there. We had the conversation before to refrain from making plans there, because this could be the team where it matters and we need to pay attention, but...
Well, like Matt mentioned, all three of us talked about getting tickets to the Final Four this year because we expected Arkansas to be there. We fully believed it. Like, this season has been a total 180 to what everyone in Arkansas imagined.
Right. Yeah. And at least getting into the tournament and winning a few games and putting pressure on it. Because, I mean, you know, you never know. Once you get past the first two rounds, they call it madness for a reason. Anything can happen. But so good at just putting his teams in a position to at least let their talent make a run. And it's just, they're not going to be in a position to do that this year.
Right. It's just heartbreaking, because every Arkansas person, every Arkansas individual was talking smack to everybody else, saying like, look at our team. We beat Purdue in preseason, and then all of this stuff, Duke beat Duke. And now we have to live with all the trash coming to us. I hate even opening social media because I just see, who are these guys getting blown out by the South Carolina Gamecocks? Yeah. It's just very aggravating.
I wonder too if that Purdue game may have been one of the worst things that could have happened to this team, because they were hungry in that game. And then after that, it feels like sometimes they believe they can just ride their talent and sleepwalk through some of the games that don't matter as much. And that's why we've seen them struggle so much against teams that shouldn't be difficult to beat. But then we see them step up against teams like Duke when their backs are against the wall, like last game against Texas A&M. They came out and they put on a hell of a show in the first half. And so when they're awake, they look good, but we've only seen it for like six halves of basketball all season.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that Purdue game was actually detrimental to them, or maybe it was going to be like this regardless. I don't know. But just a weak team, I think, mentally and physically. I mean, our guys are getting bullied at every position. Only like one or two guys has been in a position where they're on a winning team or a winning program and actually know how to win. And that's not all their fault. Like, I understand you don't always control the situation you're in, but we brought in a lot of guys that came from losing programs or lower tier programs, and they just didn't bring that kind of culture with them. And it's very evident. And I think that's a lot of what Muss has been saying in his post-game press conferences about, I'm not used to having a team full of guys that don't give their all or don't know how to win like this. To me, that kind of translates straight across. But it's been frustrating. But all right, we're going to get into a little more of the details of this game and pick apart a little bit of this box score. But first, we're going to take a quick break.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right. Arkansas loses by 13 points on their home court to South Carolina. Let's nitpick some of these box scores, shall we? Tremont Mark, once again, pretty much the only bright spot on the team. Finished with, 18 points? Yeah, 18 points, a couple rebounds, one assist, shot pretty good from the field, 2 of 3 from long range. Just a pretty good game from Mark all around. There was times even that I feel like his effort wasn't all the way there. I remember there was one time he got a rebound and started to go out on a fast break, and he got the ball tipped away from him from behind, and South Carolina came back on the other way, and you could kind of see him throw his hands up in the air and not get back on defense. Yep. And so even him, our only bright spot, there are times when he's not showing the effort that we need. But
just hopping in real quick. Sorry to interrupt, Brandon, but one of my biggest frustrations about Mark is how he is always, every possession, arguing with the officials, throwing his hands up, not giving the effort if something doesn't go his way. I feel like I see it every play that something doesn't go his way. He's either chatting with the refs or just throwing his arms up in frustration, like, I should have got a foul, or you should have done this. And that is such a, with how talented he is, the lack of effort and the lack of just total awareness is disappointing to see from him.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, he's really been the only bright spot in several games, and there's still times exactly like what you're talking about where he's still not doing what we need him to be doing. But in this game, you had L. Ellis score 9 points and get 2 assists, which doesn't seem like a lot, but he's the only Razorback that had more than one assist. So there's a stat for you. And he's still only shot 3 of 9 from the field. Not a fantastic shooting game, but at least he's playing with a little more confidence. We talked last episode about how we need him to be a little more confident. So, you know, kind of good to see that he's still kind of scoring and getting his feet under him again. But only Trevin Brazil and Chandler Lawson had more than 3 rebounds in this game. They had 6 and 7, respectively. And Trevin Brazil, can we take a second to talk about how disappointing he's really been overall? And it's not like he's taking shots or doing things and just playing bad basketball. He's just not doing anything.
Yep.
He took 3 shots in this game. He's supposed to be the only guy on this team that was projected as a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. And he's just not aggressive or where he needs to be on either side of the ball. And I don't understand how it could be that way. I don't know. What do you guys think about Brazil? What's going on with him?
He's sloppy. He's just very sloppy. Ball handling, he really doesn't look like he has played basketball. I don't know what's going on with him. I mean, we know where he's effective, and that's, I see him at the top of the key. and he can take a guy with a quick first step, or if they leave enough space, he's long enough, tall enough to get a shot over somebody. And we just don't see him being aggressive, and that's the most aggravating. And he does try to be aggressive, he looks sloppy. He doesn't look like he has a good handle on the ball. He doesn't get low. He doesn't do the little things right, and it makes him look terrible, really. And yeah. I'm just disappointed in his aggressiveness and just overall just fundamentals in general with him. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why, if he's still scared of injuring himself before the NBA draft, because I know that draft can get in players' heads, knowing like, hey, if I just stay here, if I just do this, I could consistently be a top pick. But instead of trying to be aggressive and make a bigger name for yourself right now, I wouldn't want him in the first round. No. But I don't know about you guys, but I wouldn't.
Matt, I completely agree with you about he's sloppy. He doesn't give the effort that you expect him to. He has all of the capability to be a first round pick. Honestly, he has the capability of being a lottery pick. He should be able to take guys off the bounce. He should be able to consistently hit shots. We've seen him hit shots. He lacks offensive awareness. He lacks defensive awareness. It feels like, I hate to say this, but it feels like he has a very low basketball IQ. And that's what NBA scouts are looking for, is how smart you are on both ends of the court. He doesn't rotate well defensively. I mean, he's our most athletic player, and we saw it early in the season, him get these help side blocks, but he doesn't rotate quick enough to be a good help side defender. And then on the offensive end, you would think like whenever we get caught up or doubled and we have to pick up the ball, you'd think he'd be driving to cut to catch a lob. We don't see him cut and move offensively to try to get open, to try to get spaces, to cut back door, to get these, you know, hammers on people. We just don't see any awareness to do that. He's trying to follow the system offense that we don't have. And I just wish that he would take it upon himself to kind of be more free flowing. I think that's been my most disappointing thing with him, is he lacks all of that awareness to play for himself and do these things like that his athleticism allows. And you could be completely right. He may be worried about that injury, because I mean, it's tough to come back from something like that, but I have nothing else to say about him. I'm just going to say the same things.
Yeah. And just based on potential alone, with how good his jump shot looks, how athletic he is, he'll still get a look by NBA scouts just on that potential alone. Mm-hmm. But I do worry about exactly what you're saying, and especially on the defensive side of the ball, because if you are 6'10" and have a good enough jump shot, NBA development teams will get you where you need to be offensively. I'm not really super concerned about that. Like if he was to get a look offensively, or I mean in the NBA, but I don't know who he's going to guard defensively in the NBA, because he's so, like, he's getting bullied by a 6'8" dude from South Carolina that got whatever he wanted in the paint. Right. And he's not quick enough laterally to stay with threes or fours in the NBA. So I don't know how he could fit in on the ball at this moment, but even with the development that the NBA provides, I don't know how that's going to go, even when he does get a look.
Maybe it was our fault for just overhyping him, too, you know? I mean, he came in and played how many games his first season here?
Nine. He was in the beginning of the ninth game when he got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, and we see all these highlights that he was doing and everything like that, and that was, I mean, phenomenal. But maybe we just overestimated him being the guy, because the last team at least meshed well. There were a lot of friends that came in as freshmen, you know, Anthony Black, Nick Smith, Jordan Walsh. They were all good buds. Everybody meshed well. And Brazil didn't have to be vocal or a leader or anything. And now he's our only option, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that too. And that's another reason I think that he could still get some kind of look in the NBA, because they won't ask him to be that way. You know, we're asking a lot of him right now, and it's clear that he's not capable of being the guy and taking 10, 9 shots per game and creating for himself. And it's clear that he's not at that point right now to be able to do that. But when he's asked not to, when he's asked to be the fifth option on a team, maybe he's a perfect fifth option. Who knows? Maybe right. they'll figure out a way to use him. But it's
Let me say one more thing regarding Brazil and this game real quick. If I were to tell you that we had a guy that had 11 points on 4-for-16 shooting, 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block, you would think that would be a bad night from Brazil, our guy who was expected to be a Naismith Player of the Year. He was on the watch list for that. But that was from both of our preseason All-SEC first team guys, Devo and Brazil. That was their combined stat line for this game. That's sick that we're shooting 4-for-16 from both of those guys, only having 9 rebounds, Brazil having 6 of those. It's ridiculous. Like, Brazil should be getting 16 shots a game by himself. And I went back and looked. He has 3 times all season where he had 10 or more field goal attempts. And 2 of those games were he had just 10 field goal attempts. I think the other one was 12 field goal attempts. And one of them was against Stanford where he pulled down, I think it was 10 points, 17 rebounds. So arguably his best game of the season. But you're telling me over these, have we played 18 games now? Are we 10-8? 10-9?
Yeah.
10-8. Over 18 games, you have shot the ball 10 times, 3 games. That's, you can't have that as, you know, our guy who is supposed to be our best player of the season. Like, it's, I hate it for him.
Yeah. I agree completely. There were 7 different Razorbacks in this game that took as many or more shots than he did. And that's usually doesn't even play 7 guys. And so would have 7 being more aggressive than he is. I don't get it. But anyways, one positive, Arkansas actually only turned the ball over 5 times in this game. So pretty good ball security. You know, end on a positive note there. They still, that didn't matter as much because they took 62 shots and only hit 37% of them. But
golly.
But a good ball security game, I guess. But you know, credit to South Carolina. They had 4 guys scoring double digits, led by BJ Mack, who was heavily considered by Arkansas in the transfer portal this summer. Somebody that I was kind of excited about to be in consideration for this team. Only 6'8", a little bit undersized to be a big man, a center in this league, but he weighs like 260 or something.
He's a big
dude. It was clear that he was getting whatever he wanted against us down low. I mean, he was bodying up. He was hitting threes, stretching the court. Had 18 points and 9 rebounds, a few assists. I mean, just got whatever he wanted. And I think that we absolutely could have used a big physical presence like he is on this roster, because we don't really have it at all at this point. I mean, you have Lawson that's pretty good at blocking shots, but he's kind of scrawny and doesn't defend on the perimeter well and hasn't been a reliable 3-point shooter. You have Makai Mitchell, who can't stay on the court with, you know, defensive issues, with foul trouble, with turnovers, things like that. I like a lot of what Makai Mitchell does, but clearly he's not able to stay on the court because of the deficiencies that he has. So I think we absolutely could have used a guy like BJ Mack, but instead he has a huge game against Arkansas. So go figure, I guess. But all around, just a good game from South Carolina. They came in and got what they wanted on our home court and punked us for the second time in 2 weeks. Yeah. So, all right. And Arkansas gets right back to it. It's a brutal schedule for every SEC team. So they get right back to it on Saturday, or I'm sorry, on Wednesday. They go on the road to Ole Miss. And we're going to be right back after another quick break with a little bit of a preview of Ole Miss and what's to come this week. All right. Arkansas hits the road again for their next game against Ole Miss. And all of these metrics that we're about to talk about, these are prior to the games happening on Saturday. This is coming into the Saturday slate of games. And Ole Miss plays Auburn on Saturday at Auburn. So that could be a potentially huge win for them if they're able to play well there. But coming into that game, Ole Miss is 15-2, tied for the best overall record in the SEC. Only 2-2 in conference play, though. Their first loss was to Tennessee. Understandable. That's like a top 6 team in the country. Very good team. But then their second loss was actually to LSU, who is mediocre, probably about like we are at this point, but not probably their worst loss of the season easily. And then, like I said, they go to Auburn Saturday. Currently, they're number 62 in the net rankings, number 73 on KenPom, have a pretty good offensive efficiency score. They're ranked number 46 in the country on offense. That's among the better teams that Arkansas has played this year. It's not the best, but it's among the better ones. and then only ranked 129 in defensive efficiency. So could be susceptible, I guess, to teams that shoot well, that play well offensively. Again, not really something that Arkansas has shown this year either. But leading scorers are Matthew Morrell, averaging over 17 points a game, shooting 39% from long range, another good three-point shooting team. And their second leading scorer is actually Alan Flanagan, who should be a familiar name to Hog fans. He is a Little Rock native, has been at Auburn his whole career. This is his fifth year in college, and it will be his seventh game against Arkansas, which is crazy in this day and age in college. He averages over 11 points a game versus Arkansas, five rebounds, over an assist, over a steal per game. And a weird stat that I found interesting, he's only played Arkansas twice in the regular season, not in Fayetteville. And in those two games, he's averaging 18.5 points, 9 rebounds, 2.5 assists, and 46% from long range. Given both of those games were home games for Auburn and not Ole Miss, but he's having a heck of a season for Ole Miss as well. No shortage of confidence playing against his hometown team, his Arkansas. I know he's from Little Rock, not Fayetteville, but still. Still gonna, not be lacking in confidence at all to play against the Hogs. So I would not be surprised at all to see him be the killer in this game and take us out. But maybe we've talked about in the last few podcasts about how Must still is pretty good, even with this team struggling, has still found a way to limit the other team's best player at times. And I would not be surprised at all to see a very heavy focus on Flanagan just because of him. Plays Arkansas. Mm-hmm. So don't be surprised if we see a lot of Devo and a lot of Tremont Mark trying to really get in his grill and rattle him. But then just, they've got two other players scoring double digit points per game, both good 3-point shooters. And then they have two huge dudes in the paint that are blocking like a combined 4 shots a game. Jamarian Sharp, 7'5" center, blocking almost 3 blocks per game. And then Musa Cisse is 6'10", averaging 1.5 blocks a game. So comes into this game as the second highest shot blocking team in the SEC. And actually, if you just look at SEC versus SEC games, so just conference games, they're actually Arkansas during SEC play. I think it's like 7.8 for Ole Miss and only 7.0 for Arkansas, both of which are still far and away better than any other SEC team. But a strong paint presence, strong guard play, strong shooting team. They're in the top 25, a road matchup. It's going to be a tough game for Arkansas, especially coming off of a bad loss like this. What are you guys' thoughts for this game? I mean, what with the tournament kind of becoming more and more out of reach, how do you stay motivated for a game like this? What are you looking for from Arkansas in this kind of game?
I don't know, Brandon. I don't know if I would even say that the tournament's more and more out of reach. I would say it's completely out of reach, despite, like you said earlier, divine intervention. Flanagan's a great player. He's cooked Arkansas in the past, like we've seen. I think he's their leading rebounder this year. Being a 6'6" guy, I'm hoping that maybe our guards can step up and keep him out of the paint and maybe focus a little more on the 7'5" and 6'10" bigs. I don't know what our answer is going to be for that. I don't know if we'll see more Mitchell, more Lawson. Obviously, Lawson got a good amount of minutes the last couple games, but we really need a big body like Mitchell to bang around down low with both of them. I just want to see some effort out of the Razorbacks, I guess. There's not much to hope for at this point other than just not getting embarrassed. I think Matt mentioned a couple episodes ago that's what he wants to see the fight for is to, knock some of these other teams out of contention as well and to not go home just with our tail between our legs. And that's really what I want to see. I don't want to be the laughingstock of the SEC. I know we're getting to that point with how we're playing, but I want to keep it close. I want to put up some fight, and maybe speaking even away from this game, give a little bit of competition to some of these SEC teams moving forward,
we have nothing to lose. I mean, we've already lost it, so just get after people, please. please, Musselman, I beg you, if somehow this finds you, please. Different defensively. I don't want to see people driving by us and getting layups. That's all I want. Just do something different. I'm tired of seeing the same stuff over and over again. It's exhausting because not only do I have to watch it and have my eyeballs bleed every time I see it, but I also have to talk about it. Just do something different, please. And just get after them, and you have nothing to lose, so all out, you might as well. I mean, it's we're desperate, beyond desperate, so just do something.
Yeah, and even looking a little bit beyond this Ole Miss game, for the first time ever, College Game Day has decided to come to Fayetteville, mm-hmm. even though the last three seasons would have been way better, way more fun teams to come watch, but next Saturday, College Game Day will be in Fayetteville for the Arkansas versus Kentucky game. And there's a very, very real possibility that Arkansas could be 1-5 in SEC play coming into this game, with College Game Day coming to town to watch one of the better teams in the country play against Arkansas. And who knows, with the way this Arkansas team plays, maybe we'll see the team that played Duke. Maybe we'll see the first half of Texas A&M. Maybe they'll wake up for this game with all the national attention on them, and we'll see a good game, a good team. But it's hard to stay optimistic about it at this point, but something to look forward to. It'll still be kind of cool, kind of fun to see College Game Day. All those, you know, the national talking heads will be on campus and get a little more exposure for the program, even if it is in a down year. But at this point, I hate to say it, I'm already kind of starting to look towards portal season, yeah, thinking about what guys are going to enter the transfer portal and how we're going to fix this next year. Yeah. I'm still hopeful that we can fix a few things this year and that we see a little bit better effort, but it's going to be too little too late if they do figure some things out. But we'll still be watching, still be supporting. We'll still be bringing you guys content weekly about talking Arkansas basketball, but that's all we have for this episode. Sorry if we're a little too negative reporting this pretty live after that emotional loss. So
we're laughing through the pain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to, but smile, we appreciate wave. You guys tuning in to talk some Arkansas basketball with us. Reminder that we're brought to you by the Field of 68 Network. You can find us there on YouTube and on Twitter and Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find us under 30 Minutes of Hell. I have been your host, Brandon Baker, joined by Joey Jackson and Matt Jackson. And as always, go Hogs.
Thanks, everyone.
Woo pig.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.